The next topic I wanted to talk about was again a question that came out of the Holocaust that once again continues to affect us very much to this day. Part of this question is being dealt with right now by the Beis Din I am affiliated with, and related questions as well are coming up all the time. We start with a New York Times article now from 1994. We have more sheets if anybody is interested. Programs. There you go, Ellen. Don't give it to her. This article, the first article we have, is from the New York Times, December 1994. The young Israeli woman learned suddenly this year that she could not lawfully marry her fiancé because his name turned up on a list of people whom the rabbinical authorities declared religious untouchables. New York Times. Can't believe them. Who can you believe?
It's fake news.
In the last...
I don't think so.
In the last 2 days, the existence of this computerized list held secretly by the Religious Affairs Ministry and naming thousands of Israelis prohibited from marrying fellow Jews has stirred a bitter dispute over whether theological requirements end where theological requirements end and civil rights begin. The fiancé's problem involved his grandmother, a Polish-born survivor of the Hitler era, who had been sent to one of the concentration camps while her husband went to another. After gaining her freedom and receiving no word of him, she assumed he was dead and she began a new family in Poland with a second husband. Some years later, they emigrated to Israel, where she discovered that husband number one had not only survived, but was also living here. They agreed they had to get a divorce, which a rabbinical court granted. But the rabbis also declared that the children of her second marriage are illegitimate. That stigma is carried on government records and crosses generations, extending to the luckless fiancé. His would-be bride turned to the help of Rabbi Uri Regev, a reform rabbi who heads the Israel Religious Action Center in Jerusalem. But he said there was nothing he could do. Since the government only recognized marriages performed by Orthodox rabbis, he said, and since the Orthodox rabbi is the final arbiter, there is all no alter to this kind of misery. Article goes on, we skip a little, how Israelis land on this list is also disputed. Rabbi Elio Bakshi Daron, the Sephardic chief rabbi, he was at the time, says this list was based on rabbinic rulings, but critics cite instances of anonymous phone tips. One such call caused a 30-year-old marriage to be dissolved a few years ago. By what right have they collected these names unknown to the people on the list, Ms. Hoffman asked. We find out that quite a few are there because of rumors, because of gossip, because of malice. For Rabbi Regev, the way to help these people is to end the Orthodox monopoly by permitting civil marriages and weddings presided over by Reform or conservative rabbis. For Rabbi Bakshi Daron, the Jewish heritage is at stake. We want to keep our tradition, he said. So, this case is unfortunately one of many, many cases, perhaps some people know of such a case, where after the Holocaust, women were under the impression that their husbands had perished in the Holocaust, only to find out later on that in fact they did not. And the later on sometimes was after they got remarried and after they had children. Now, halachically, this is unfortunately an easy question. If a woman has a child from anyone but her husband at the time she's married, and assuming that someone else is Jewish, then that child, whether it's b'shogeg, b'mezid, b'ones, doesn't make a difference. Unfortunately, that child is a mamzer. However, if a man thinks that his wife has passed away, I'll help you out on this one, Marcia, and in fact he gets remarried, the children do not have that status because biblically a man is allowed to have two wives while a woman cannot have two husbands. Therein lies the difference. So that is the case we have from the New York Times.
Just as an aside, the woman happened to cohabit with a non-Jewish man, the child
is not a mamzer. That is correct. Oddly enough,
so the halacha to have a goy as a boyfriend.
If you're married, if you're doing it while you're married to your husband for the sake of the children, yes. I cannot tell you what the temperature is going to be in Gehenna, whether it's hotter this way or it's hotter that way. That I cannot answer for you. But in terms of the status of the children in Achinami, I'll give you that. These questions are alive and well today. There is a case that is pending as we speak before the Beis Din, which involves a grandchild of somebody whose obituary appeared a few years ago. I had to remove the names because this is an active case. Holocaust survivor A.B., a well-known and respected master tailor in the Plony area for many years. I changed that also. He didn't really live in Plony. He lived in the next city. But not now everyone knows. Shkayach, way to go. Okay. Died March 1st at the age of 103.
Wow. Is that real?
I lowered the number.
Okay. To protect the innocent.
That's right. At 23, he met and married a young lady named C. He knew it had to be. In 1941, they had a son whom they named D. What else you can name him? When D was about 2 months old and with World War spreading and the Germans approaching, A.B. arranged to have his wife and son transported by army truck to Russia, where they were to live with an aunt. When the war came to the region, Jacob tried to escape. That was A.B. To the that was his nickname. His real name was A.B. Tried to escape to the Russian border, was soon turned back by the Nazi approach. He spent a short time hidden in a small village at the home of a Christian family and ended up in the Riga ghetto for a short time, which is pretty far from Plony. When the Germans became aware of his skills at Italy, he was taken to German military prison where he was able to survive for 3 years making officers' uniforms. When the war started to turn against the Nazi, the prison was evacuated. From there, A.B. spent a year in the Stutthof concentration camp where he continued his work as a tailor until he was liberated by the Russian army. Suffering from typhus, he spent a month recovering in what was once a German hospital but now occupied by Russian doctors. Upon release from the hospital, A.B. spent 6 months in an American repatriation camp located in Poland and then moved to Bialystok, a small town in Poland. Here he met and soon married his second wife, E. He had previously been told that his first wife and son had perished in the war, only to find out a few years later they had survived in Russia. By that time, C had also remarried and started a new life. They kept in contact over the years, but never saw each other again. His first son, D, had settled in Israel and often came to visit. So, his wife got remarried, and when they got together, they just kind of decided, you know what, whatever happens, I'm remarried, you're remarried, let's just kind of go our own way. And they started their own family.
Even then, no get.
And even then, no get. And she had children from the second husband. And now, that child from the second husband's child has become a Baal Tshuva. And would like to know his status.
I'll tell you his status.
Taras. So, this unfortunately was a very common question at the time. Unfortunately, these are just two cases that were well reported, and there are more well reported cases over the years, particularly in Israel where this happened. And the question is there anything we can do to help the children with their status? This led to a very famous machokes between mechutanim. On the one hand, you have the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who for many years was the Av Beis Din in Manchester before he became the Av Beis Din of the Eid Charedus. Thank you. And he was mechutin with Rav Yaakov Breisch, the Chalkas Yaakov.
Is that in Israel?
And he was the Rav in, anybody?
Originally Manchester.
No, one guy. This is the other guy. Eid Charedus is in Israel. Breisch actually was a Rav in Germany, and he eventually went to Switzerland. They're both very well known. So let me give you the question that was presented to the Minchas Yitzchak that he, of course, shared with his Mechutim. She'ira. Yesh itanu be'ireinu karv leminyan asar bachurim. We have 10 cases in our community. What was this community? If you look at the bottom, I left it in. Munkach. This is a shayrat of Munkach.
Where is that?
Ukraine.
It was clearly in Eastern Europe. I think we all agree on that. Asher Sibas Hamapecha Mitul Tar Hamishbachos Barzos Pizureyam Achreasher Niskapsu Migolos Deutschland, Germania, Venisrachko Hanoshmi Baleyam Venishava Kamavacham Mikrim Rota Horim, Shavrechim Wabadku Kahogan Alzivogayam, Rachku Lahem Noshimesha Bacharu. So, with the excitement and joy of the liberation of the camps, people who decided that their previous lives had been destroyed wanted to start over again, and they, without checking the requisite amount, went and got remarried. And oftentimes, much to their chagrin, they found out that the people that they married were still alive, that's true. But not only that, but their spouses were also still alive, which is more important here. Right? That in fact, I go.
When you're marrying is dead, it doesn't matter so much.
What? As long as it's not the Rechiba. As we established earlier this evening.
The ones you were married to, the bad.
Okay. ובימים מהם תקה בחדושם הראשון ואשר השיחר לא הביא להם שום מנהיג ומורה צדק בעיר אשר יורם על זה. And this was a time where there was somewhat anarchy going on. And there was no one to say, wait a second, before you go run off and getting married, you've got to check this out. Within the next 6 months to a year, Yisrami Milsa Sher Baalayim Arishonim Shove Me'atu Shuyim. The husbands start coming back. And that va'oz havikvar kresim bein shineim.
They were pregnant.
That's the short of it. The long is at this point they're ready. Their stomach was between their teeth, as the saying goes, meaning that they were at that point pregnant when the husband showed up. And they ended up having many cases that children were born out of the new relationship, not out of the old relationship. Mamzerim min haTorah. There's no question whatsoever about the status of these children. That's not negotiable. V'nisharu hanoshim ad hayom im baleim achadoshim. And now that the women ended up staying with the second husband. V'ata bachrim hamolim hanal kvar higiyu l'perek ha'ish mekadosh. And now here we are. This question is written in 1965. 20 years later. And these children of these relationships are ready to get married. Literally, he says, a minion of men in Munkach that are of marriageable age, but have the status of Amzer.
Shouldn't you also have a lot of Amzer women?
Yeah, then they can marry the Amzer woman.
Yeah. What? So? Bagambis. So now these offspring want to know what can they do. The guy says, I have all the svarim in the world, but I don't have any ideas. How do I get out of this? Please explain to me what we're supposed to do. And it's from Rav Tzvi Elimelech, Kavish Munkach. That's the question. So that was the issue that was raised at the time. Again, this is around 20 years after the Holocaust, but it was obviously directly related to the Holocaust. Right? This is just they've just waited to the point where they really have to do something about it. The Freeds can't behave themselves. now that's on Wayu Torah. Assuming this is working. So the question is there anything we can do in a case like this? And of course, this is an exceptionally important question because, as we said, right now, today, as we sit here, over 70 years since the end of the war, these questions are as real today as they were then, as one generation goes to another one. And as they, and as the article said, pointed out correctly, yes, the Rabbanut does keep track of these things, as they rightfully should.
And I don't, for these children themselves, that first generation, I don't think anything can be done. But we discussed once before,
right,
a takana for their
progeny. Right, so that's what we're going to discuss. Well, so the question is, they are mamzerim. Right? So what are the practical ramifications of being a mamzer?
Can't marry Yisrael.
Right. What about a Kohen?
Can't marry a Levi.
Can't marry Yisrael. That's right. That's true. Not lefties, not righties. Yes.
But they can marry other
Muslims. Ambidextrous, yes.
That's right. So the question is, what... The obviously the major issue in being a mamzer is the fact that you are severely limited in who you can remarry. Yes, a mamzer can marry a mamzeres, but their child is going to be a mamzer. A mamzer can marry a giores, actually, but the child is going to be a mamzer.
Either man or woman?
Either way, okay. Right? There's a rule as havlad holech acher haposel. The child maintains the status of whoever has the lower status, right? And therefore, if one of them is the mamzer, right, therefore the child is going to have that lower status. And even if we're just going to be kicking the can down to the next generation. That's all we're going to be doing, that there seems
How
to be no...
How far does that go?
What? So it says in Shulchan, it says even ten, a few, it says in the Chumash, even 10 generations later,
it's
still there.
Forever.
Right, right. 10 generations is a pretty long run itself, but again, by meaning that at no point, not after 3, not after 5, even after 10, it's the status lives on. So the question is there anything we can do for these children? Yes, Marsha, you have an idea.
I don't know. Learned in any of this, but
no one's accusing you, don't worry.
Okay. Couldn't the Beis Din under these circumstances, which are so rare, it's so unusual, it was so horrific, say there is an exception here, we'll take pity on these?
I'll just note for the record that I think you're sitting in Ted's seat right now.
So again, no matter how
great the rabbinic will, there is no halachic way.
Let me change your question to something that may show a rabbinic way.
Okay.
We know that at the original Kedushin, he says, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael.
Correct.
Which means I'm marrying you by virtue of the rabbinical laws as interpreted by the rabbis, and it's on their haskama that we're married.
Mm-hmm.
So these rabbis can't say, we're retracting our haskama. You're never really married, and so these children are not mamzerim.
It is unfortunate that we can't, because if you were right, we would never have a mamzer. We could just leave out the whole parsha. And according to your view, when would we ever have a mamzer?
You know, randomly, you're doing it for the
right.
There are instances when we're arguing.
There is one. But instances sounds very plural.
At least an instance.
Right. There's one rare instance, yes.
It's interesting that rabbis that married the couples after the war, I mean, did they not do due diligence at that point?
So one doesn't need a rabbi to get married. We recommend it. Looks much better for the pictures. But in fact, one does not need a rabbi. And again, anybody could do it. You know?
A lot of people came with false testimony. In the camps,
right.
The camps, they said, I know that my wife is dead, or my former husband, and my two friends remember seeing her going to the crematorium, or whatever. And the rabbi believed it, and okay, that Rachmanes, and 10 years later, the husband shows up suddenly, you know, so what do you do?
So does a Beis Din have to release it? How does it work?
Well, again, why is the person an aguna? Unfortunately, men die. Right? It happens sometimes. So what does the woman have? Does the woman need paperwork? She needs to go to a Beis Din to get remarried.
No.
No?
She just has to know it.
Right.
She doesn't always know it.
But I get, I'm saying, in most cases, I imagine, you know, maybe she did it.
Right. You wouldn't eat the mushrooms.
So again, the way it should happen is in a case like this, where there is no solid proof, right? There is no death certificate, there is no body, right, etc. So no, that should be handled by a Beis Din. But as it says in the question, but there was no rabbis around, so people kind of just assumed, and now they're in trouble. So.
But how would the Beis Din know for a fact?
So very interesting. I'm gonna tangent a little bit on this, but I remember when we were working on the 9/11 Agunas. So and on 9/11 the next year, the Jewish Museum in Battery Park opened an exhibit about 9/11, how it affected the Jews, and the Dayanim that worked on the cases were actually invited to the opening. They had very good food. I remember it well. So the curator got up to speak, and he said as follows. He said that the way the museum is set up, if you've ever gone there, is it's three floors. The first floor is a standard thing. The first floor is, you know, this is a Kiddush cup, this is a Havdalah set, this is a matzah, you know, shine. That's the first floor. This is Judaism for you. The second floor is all about the Holocaust. And the third floor is a rotating exhibit, right? Whatever they're having, that's on the third floor. So he said that they had just made a purchase of a cache of documents from Hungary from 1947. And among the reason they wanted it, because they had all of the Beis Din documents from then. And he said that there was a questionnaire that people had to fill out. You know, when was the last time this person was seen? Were they told to go to the right or were they told to go to the left? Right? These were the questions after the war. Right? He said, their plan was that this will be the final exhibit of the second floor, and the first exhibit of the third floor is the 2001 Aguna questionnaire. The idea of, you know, did the person have a cell phone that could be tracked? Did the person have emails that could be tracked? Right? Right? Indicating that no matter how much technology changes, the underlying issues remained the same. But that's what they had in 1945, 46, 47, when this was being dealt with, those were the questions. You know, who else, who was taken with him? You know, which group was he in? Which camp was he in? Right? There was a lot of ways that one could potentially prove that a person died in the Holocaust. Right? So the Nazis were Nazis, but they really kept good records, as we know.
Or not, the point is we're dealing with such a catastrophic
event that
they can't have a little compassion and say, forget this law concerning just
So you know what?
Marsha,
let me ask you a question here. You ever go to a children's hospital and there are kids there with cancer?
Yeah.
You know, why can't the doctors have some compassion and just make it go away?
Well, if they could, they would. But here you could, because it's not.
But we can't.
A disease. It's law. It's Jewish law. But
yeah, but you know, but just like the doctors don't make up nature, the rabbis don't make up the laws. I wish it were true. Man, it would be so great to be a rabbi if any of this was true. But unfortunately, it's not. You know, just like the doctors don't control nature, we don't control God. No one's blaming you. No one's saying it's fair. Alex has an excellent joke he could share with you about it.
Yeah, if somebody was a hippie and they were using drugs and they were sexually...
I think we're getting a little bit off the topic right now, Marsha.
Under these circumstances...
But even people who are not promiscuous, they still get cancer. It's from the same God. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Is
it... Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, that we're stuck with this. This is reality. This is nature. There's physical reality, there's spiritual reality, and there's nothing we can do about it. If they weren't Jewish, they'd be in much better shape. If they weren't Jewish, I could fix that.
But they...
But this I can't, though.
Reform wouldn't care.
Reform wouldn't care at all. Okay. Reform wouldn't care if the mother wasn't Jewish either, I remind you.
Huh?
Reform wouldn't care if the mother wasn't Jewish either.
Okay.
Right? That doesn't bother them either. Okay, so Zion is right. Yes.
I guess the thing that troubles me is the double standard of it. Since the men, they do have a path, but the women do not have a path.
Now, who made this double standard? God. So take it up with him, as I'm saying.
I would take it up with her.
I hope this recording doesn't work.
all these foolish arguments, excuse me, please, notwithstanding, there are technical issues which I know have been utilized to some extent or another. There's no evidence of the original wedding being valid. There's no Adam. There's no anything to prove that there was an original marriage.
If there is none. But what if you have a ksuba?
What other people know?
It's not likely that these Holocaust survivors who didn't have a passport or didn't have a birth certificate, who didn't have any identification, they didn't have their own tachtoinim, that they had a ksuba.
So you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Again, you've got the Adam. Right? You have a couple that's been living together, a husband and wife, for years, and they have children. And right? It's very hard to get up and say, nah, it's not actually true. Now, trust me, on a practical level, we try it all. We try it all. We try to say the ksuba. We said that the original chasana was no good. We'll try to say the Adam were no good, that the ring wasn't really the person's ring, and the Adam were puzzle Adam if they were there, you know. A basin goes as far out of its way as you could imagine to try the technical fault, right? Right. That's always the first step in any of this, right? Right. Or we'll turn around. I'll go a lot further, right? Who says the second guy's really Jewish? Maybe he's a guy and they're not mamzerim. Who said they had children naturally? Maybe they had through IVF and it's not mamzeris.
In the 19th, they had two
what? What? Maybe they had two dogs. Yeah. So, right? No, so again, I'm saying from a practical point of view, you are right, right? Right, Beis Din will really try whatever they can do to be mater a mamzer. Nobody wants to find themselves in this situation. And in most cases that will work, but not in 100%. That's the unfortunate truth, right? You know. And again, I'll tell you questions we're dealing with right now. What if you don't have a ksuba, but you have a marriage license, and the marriage license was signed by an Orthodox rabbi?
This is what we talked about once before, not long ago, Shavuos.
Right, right. I'm saying, you know, these are the practical cases that are out there.
So that would stand a marriage license signed by a...
Orthodox rabbi probably made sure he had Adam.
Right, and Adam and Aksuba, and you know, right, if the person was a well-respected Orthodox rabbi, it's hard to say they were not, right? Can you try to stand up and say, well, maybe there was a get at some point and no one knows about it? You know, again, you try it all. That's true, but sometimes, after all has been said and done, you hit the wall.
And here there were 10 such cases.
Again, I don't know these people, obviously, right? I don't know the Mooncatchers that were born in 1945, right? Right? Jeff knows him. He was Makar in the Rolls Fardom now, but the facts on the table is maybe they had 100 and now they're down to 10. I don't know.
So will they really look to see what maybe the man she's married to is not a Jew? I mean,
yeah. Again, a Beis Din tries very, very hard to do that. Okay. Yes, we have people that's what they do.
Okay.
Yes. No, I don't know.
Count the presidents of every shul.
Okay.
Is it significant or very?
What? I forget. Yossi, just remind me. Who was the president before Craig? I forget. It slips my mind. So, the question that was brought up in 1965, there was a very well-known machlokas at the time between the two mechutanim, right, between the Minchas Yitzchak and the Chalkas Yaakov. It all goes back to a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kedushin says as follows, it's number 4 on your sheet. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yecholin Mamzerin Lehitoyer. Mamzerin can become Eish Mamzerin. Ketzad, what are you going to do? Mamzer Shenosa Shifcha. If a Mamzer marries a Shifcha Kananis, right? So again, if someone has a non-Jewish maidservant, right? So we convert the maidservant somewhat. A typical Jew cannot marry the maidservant, but an Eved Ivri can. And also, this is a machlokas, we assume, Rav Tarfon is definitely assuming, that a mamzer can marry the maidservant. Now the rule is, we said...
Is a mamzer Eved Ivri?
No.
Or he's just a plain
just,
mamzer?
Just plain, run-of-the-mill mamzer. Vanilla mamzer, nothing beyond that.
Can he be the lower status?
Oh, so that's the question. So who is of a lower status? A mamzer or a shifra kananis?
It sounds like the shifra kananis is.
What's a shifra kananis? Because the men are higher.
Right? So...
Stay very far away.
Just trying to save the rabbi.
I got it. So, a shifcha kananis is of a lower level than a mamzer. So what will the status of the child be?
An eved kanani.
An eved kanani. And what can I do with my eved kanani?
Convert him.
Free him. You can free him and he'll be...
He becomes a Jew.
He becomes a regular Jew. Right? So therefore, the mamzer marries the shifcha. The shifcha has... He's been blessed with little avadim and shifchas. Right? For their birthday, he goes and he says, "Mazel tov, you're free," and with that, he has offspring that are not mamzerim. That is the suggestion of Rav Tarfon.
Do they have a geru status?
What? Yes, they have a status of a geru.
They're kohanim, but they're not mamzerim.
They're not again. The boys can marry whoever they want. Only the girls can marry, right? So again. So in your case, you assume all the children are okay, and I'll assume that none of the children are okay.
Okay.
Okay. So,
but,
what? You also assume none. What?
If it's a mom there, she can't do that, right?
Correct. So only work for the momzer. Right? So what happened? Momzer shenof shivcha havlad eved, shichru nimsa bein bein chorin. So Rav Tarfon says that all of a sudden this will fix everything. Rabbi Elazar Omer Hareza Eved Mamzer. So no. In fact, if you do this, mazel tov, because it's Eved and a Mamzer.
Two strikes.
I don't understand. What's the suggestion? I missed it. What's the suggestion?
The suggestion is that the Mamzer should marry a Shifcha Kananis, meaning a non-Jew.
That one I got.
Right?
I thought you were talking about a second.
No, but there is a dispute. What is the status of the children of the union of the Mamzer and the Shifcha Kananis?
Okay.
According to Rav Tarfon, the children are Avadim.
Which means?
They are slaves. Which can just be freed and become free Jews, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, who says that no, they have the status of slaves and Mamzerim. So if you free them, congratulations, now they're only mamzerim. Here we are, we're back where we started. How do we follow? What is the opinion? Let's look at the Rambam. Mamzer ha'ba'al ha'akum ha'vlad akum. If a mamzer marries a non-Jew, the status of the child is?
Non-Jew.
Nisgayer, if that non-Jew converts. Hu kasher kashar gerim. So technically, if a mamzer would marry a non-Jewish woman, that would be a way to have children that are plain Jews if they would convert afterwards. There's a minor problem in that.
Not to marry a non-Jew.
Right, we don't support intermarriage. Right, despite what you might have read in the IJN.
No black.
Right? There you have it. However, the imba al shifcha, and in the event the mamzer marries a shifcha, havlad eved. Shichru havlad kosher kishar avadim mishuchar mumutu bevas Yisrael. Who does the Rambam follow?
And he is, okay, so he's not allowed to correct. Marry a Knanis, but right. He is allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis?
Correct.
What's
correct.
That? I don't know what that says.
He cannot marry, a Mamza cannot marry a non-Jewish woman.
He can't?
No, because he's Jewish, and she's not.
And,
but then how, who can he
marry? All right.
So,
no Jewish man can marry. What do you mean? Again, if the mother's not Jewish, the kid's not Jewish. Doesn't matter. The kid is not technically not related to the father at all. Okay? That is the Rambam. The Rambam says we follow Rav Tarfon. This should work. The Shulchan Aruch, how does he paskin? Mamzer habal akum. Again, if the mamzer marries a non-Jew, I've seen no shortage of these cases, by the way. Havlad akum. And then the kid's not Jewish, and if the kid converted, kid would be a fine Jew. V'im niskaya harehu ki Yisrael. V'im ba'al ha-shifcha ha-vada eved. Nishtach harehu ben chorin. Lefichach. Therefore, mamzer nosi lechachila shifcha shekibol leha mitzvahs v'tovelos v'shem avdus v'hatir banu sheyishachruhu v'yu mutan v'yisraelis. The Shulchan Aruch goes a step beyond. He says, and therefore they should do this. Mamzerim should go find themselves a knife shifcha.
Who's already chayav some mitzvahs, right?
She's right. Participating. Right. He should go find himself a shifcha. They should raise a family together. He should free his children. When he doesn't mention this, but once she passes childbearing age, it would probably be nice to be meshachar her as well. Shifcha. What?
He's going to acquire her as his shifcha.
So yeah, either he'll. How do you make a shifcha? You want to know?
Yeah.
So poof, you're a shifcha. The way it goes is as follows. What? What?
On Facebook.
Right. You can do anything on Facebook. So, thank you, Mark. That was helpful. So.
Amazon will deliver it to you.
Basically, the way, so you want to know, in general, not unrelated to this, how in general has anyone become an Eved? How does anyone become a Shifcha? So, in fact, the way it happens, and again, this might be an interesting shear unto itself, based on its historic significance, is that when someone acquires a slave, that slave goes to the mikvah for the sake of being an Eved Kanani or Shifcha Kananis. There is a strong indication, including paperwork, that this was going on in the South in the 1850s and early 1860s.
Okay.
That there were Jewish landowners.
That I understand. How today does that happen?
Why is it different?
Who's considered a slave? Who owns anybody?
Whoever wants to.
I'm sorry. I'm not getting a connection.
She's worried about the Emancipation Proclamation.
People come from other parts of the world.
Is that what we're talking about? Getting somebody from Africa? What are we talking about? I'm not
right.
saying it.
It happens.
So,
I don't know.
I would like to purchase you.
Meryl.
She can use the help.
That's true. That's it, Nelly. So, so
just don't try to resuscitate.
So let's move on in this discussion. So according in the Shulchan Aruch, which was written 500 years ago, it was suggested that this would be a good idea. It seems that this was a very common thing in those days. There is a sefer called the Shut Ole Yaakov. Remember a fellow of Yaakov Castro, who was a student of the Radbaz, who mentions in the middle of a tshuva, Maisim b'chol yom, every single day, Shemamzer nosei shivcha, Shetavu l'shem avdus l'tahir zara rovo b'chol. We have mamzerim all the time. No problem. Chick, check. You're a mamzer? Come to YU Connects. You're a mamzer, you're a shifcha kananis, mazel and bracha. That's it. Good. Done and done. That's, he said, happens here every single day. No cases of it, he says. So this was the idea. You have mamzerim, make it all better.
Doesn't help the original mamzer.
I get it.
So practically, so again, if a person was a mamzer, what would you recommend? So what I would recommend, if I'm going to follow this, is as follows. I'd say, listen, go to the west side of Manhattan. There are a lot of conversion classes going on there. Start dating some of the potential candidates.
Isn't that right? For them? They say you're getting converted for marriage.
Well, no, these people wanted to convert before they met the person, right? Go, take her out someplace nice, you know, show her a good time, you know? And then, if things work out, say, sweetheart, one little problem.
Don't convert yet.
Right. Instead of converting this way, I want to convert you that way. Instead of converting you l'shem yahadus, instead of going through the, say, listen, sweetheart, anybody can have a regular conversion, but I offer you, for you, my friend, I make special, like they say in Israel.
And here's my card, I'm a mamzer.
That's right. You know, you ever go to a camp in Israel? Usually 50 shekel, but for you special, 85.
That's right. That's because the cab driver's a mamzer.
Okay, so the women
so,
are still just aguna, basically.
What? No. Why? How are you making agunas? Who's an aguna here?
I'm just saying, the women are still stuck.
Why are they stuck?
No. She becomes Jewish.
No,
this will not work for a mamzeris. She's not an aguna. She can marry a convert. She can marry a mamzer. But this will not work. This will only fix 50% of the cases.
Why can't she get married to another
convert? Because they're not allowed to. That's the halacha, they're not allowed to. Okay? So that's the question. So the question was, could we do this in Munkach? Go to Munkach Connects, you know, What? You'd be surprised how and that's ambience is 20 years later.
65.
Right? So that's, you put that together and, you know, it's not beyond reasonable. So that was the question that came to the Minchas Yitzchak. They wanted the Minchas Yitzchak to know his opinion. Could we potentially do this to save these 10 people that are stuck? Tshuva. Nowadays, I will not allow us to follow the opinion of Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon, I'm sorry, you cannot do that nowadays. Why not? The Rambam said you can. The Shulchan Aruch said you can. Why not? Said this whole thing doesn't apply anymore nowadays. We don't have slaves. It's over. It's against the law. Minchas Yitzchak, I'm giving you a very short version of this because he wrote 5 tshuvas in a row on this topic. In which he says that nowadays, because of Dina the Malchusa Dina, right, you cannot at this point do that. This is no longer an option. That at this point we no longer have slavery, and therefore, I'm sorry, while this might have worked very well in the time of the Rambam.
What if you go to a country that still has slavery?
So that's a good question. What if you go to South Sudan? So believe it or not, slavery has become illegal in South Sudan. There is not one country in the world that has slavery legal on the books at this point.
Well, that's a step forward.
That doesn't mean that there's no countries that have slavery. But on the books, there's not one that allows it.
And that's what he's talking about, on the books. Dina the Malchusa.
Right. Dina the Malchusa, Dina. And therefore, while there was a discussion years back about, well, why don't we go to Saudi Arabia? Why don't we go to Sudan? Right. There was a pretty robust list not that long ago. At this point, my understanding is we're down to 0. So practically, that's not going to help you.
in the case before when we were talking about this, you were saying that as far as the law of the land, that only dealt with monetary
correct
issues, that, you know, if somebody has to enforce it, so...
But I think slavery is a monetary issue.
Correct.
Buying a person.
Right.
He becomes your property.
See, it's a tricky one, because on the one hand, slavery gives you a halachic status. Right? The status, there's a major difference between an eved and a nachri.
Right.
Right? That's for sure. On the other hand, this is an underlying monetary transaction. So that's part of the problem. So again, obviously, we're getting the very shortened version of this. But in the five tshuvas, the Minchas Yitzchak is indicating that, no, he thinks that this, because of the monetary nature of this, it cannot happen. That's a very basic understanding.
You never said anything about a monetary exchange by taking her to the mikveh.
Well, again, you first have to acquire. Again, you have to buy her first. Right, I can't take a woman who I do not own and take her to the mikveh. Huh? Yeah.
That's also they bought the woman at a slave auction, and then.
No,
that's what
I did.
I'm thinking about what would you do in Manhattan?
What do you mean?
I mean, who's going to pay? You're going to pay to whom? Your previous suggestion: go to the conversion class.
I'll pay her. I'll pay her. Right.
At what point does she become a slave?
When she agrees
to be
bought.
Yeah.
Then she stays
a
slave
status. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like any other employment agreement.
I got it.
Right, you sit there, you negotiate, and that's right. That's it. The Chalkas Yaakov disagreed. The Chalkas Yaakov responds to the five tshuvas with three tshuvas of his own. And he says as follows: Kitzur advarim, the yesh harbeit studim lehetera lisa nachus legayir l'shem shifcha b'chteil taras banav. So there are many opinions that will say this is allowed. Ukamuvan shu yidor ima b'li chuba v'kiddushin da'ad v'shifcha in kiddushin tovsin. Of course, there are other rules. Once you do this, it's going to have to change. Of course, there is no chuba v'kiddushin. She doesn't get a ksuba. Okay, these are all technicalities. V'avoda shi yivoda yistach l'shachram. And of course, the children that will be born will have to be freed. And you don't just say, poof, you're free. You have to write an entire document. And the document's a very specific document. And don't try to do this on your own. Right? Obviously, this is as complex, if not more complex, than a typical get, which you would never try on your own. And anyone who's going to disagree with me and say, perhaps this status doesn't work, I understand. He said, I respect other people's opinions here. Unless there's someone disagrees, he says, what I'm writing is not, in fact, something that's 100% acceptable. He said, what are you going to leave the guy doing if not, if you're not going to accept this?
And he has to just marry a non-Jew woman?
Right. He'll go and marry a shiksa. Right? So that vada yosser. Right? That's for sure. That's Belisa Giyaris and Mamzeris. So what else could he do? He's gonna marry a convert, he's gonna marry a Mamzeris. How about him you vadi mamzerim? So now you just created more mamzerim. We do whatever we can to avoid the case of someone who is a half evid because they're in trouble. So we're actually going to go and encourage people to make more mamzerim.
That's not a reason to be mat or something. Which
so that's what, no. So he says that he says there's good logic to say one way and there's good logic to say the other way. He said when you find yourself in a situation like this, realize that this is a shas hadachak. There are no other options for these people. And therefore his argument is, he said, therefore I have to tell you that I 100% tell you that we have got to go along with this. And we have to allow this to happen.
What's the this?
That we will make a shifcha and he will marry her, etc.
I got it.
Right? So that was the machlokes.
Has the Beis Din ever recommended this to someone?
So that's a good question. Among the modern poskim, first we have Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik from Mamzerus. Tanabim Masnisin, Kedushin Saltesh, Rav Tarfin, Omen Yechom Mamzerim Litar. Rav Tarfin says that in fact Mamzerim can get out of the status. Kate said Mamzis Nasr Shifcha. Okay, Ayin Shem the Gemara, the Rav Tarfin Lechachiro Kama. Rav Tarfin is dead serious. It's not if it happened, you should do this. And we pass from like Rav Tarfin. So he said that there were 7 tshuvas actually by the Minchas Yitzchak. We're 3 back from the Chokas Yaakov. Whether in America we could do this. And Rav Salvich yelled at him. Don't you know that Lincoln freed the slaves? There's nothing to talk about. So Rav Soloveitchik was strong in his support of the Minchas Yitzchak, that in fact, there's no problem. Now,
there's no problem or you can't do
that? That there's no way you can do it.
Right.
There's no way you can do it. There's nothing to talk about here. Now, this is important. Because practically nowadays, so I'll tell you that here's a case that is right now sitting before the Beis Din, which is getting most of the focus. Couple is becoming Balei Tshuva. They're married, children, and they find out that there's some issue, so they go to the Beis Din to find out what their status is. They look into the status of the man. And the man seems to clearly be a mamzer. They look into the status of the woman, and the woman is a
non-Jew.
That's not so bad.
That's a good thing.
So therefore, the current children are all
non-Jews.
Ha! Hot diggity dog diggity. But what do we tell the couple to do now?
Can't stay married.
They can't. So what do you do now?
So
we go to the judge. What would she say?
Let's one step at a time. First, you convert all the kids.
Good, easy, easy peasy.
And now you say your marriage is not chal.
Right, you're not married.
You can't marry a non-Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you purchase her as a shefa knanis?
So what would Rav Soloveitchik say?
He would shout, no good. Lincoln was against it.
We poskin like Lincoln.
Can't do that.
Right.
Not to mention Patty Ann.
Right. So the truth of the...
Lincoln says, do it.
Right. So the truth of the matter is a lot of people would disagree on the issue of the fact that there's Dina of the Malchusa here. Right, the fact that the law of the land is... There's 2 reasons why people will disagree. One is, as David correctly pointed out, that there is no Din of the Malchusa outside of monetary, and this is really not monetary. Right? Whatever's going to... Right, the peppercorn that's going to pass from him to her to acquire her, that's not... This is not a financial deal going down here. This is something that's Isser Veheter. We're trying to create a status here. That's all what's going on. Beyond that is the following question. Right? So when Rabbi Bleich was approached with this, he said, here's what I recommend that you do. I want you to call up the district attorney and tell him, I plan on buying myself a slave woman. And here's how it's going to go. I'm going to give my wife $5 and she'll be my slave and then we'll remain married. He said, what will likely happen? They'll hang up on you right there and then.
Yeah.
But if they humor you, they'll tell you that they're not going to prosecute the deal with the $5 that you gave your wife for her to be your slave. Right? I think that's a pretty fair statement. And Dina de Malchusa only applies in cases that where the government is makpin.
But if a year down the road the wife says, I don't want to do this anymore, goes to court to void the contract, will the contract be something that
The court will throw out because they've had a secular marriage from before that.
But I'm saying, but forget the secular marriage, but in general, this kind of contract, is that something that a court would ever enforce?
So, again, I think a court wouldn't know what to do with this. Right? A husband give his wife $5, you know, right?
Even if it's $20,000. I mean,
yeah, right. It's kind of, they'll just kind of stare at him and say, Mishigayim, we've got real things going on here. Here, go waste someone else's time. So again, to make the argument that this is against Dina de Mahusa is a weak argument. The truth is, and given the stakes, right, it's not a bad argument that, you know, like, you really concerned about this? Rav Shechter ever steps in here in the parentheses, and I heard this from him personally, where he says he doesn't think that's what Rav Soloveitchik meant. I think he was really saying two things. Okay? Chada, one. Sheze ye neged dina d'malchusa. One is this is against the law. Okay, like the Minchas Yitzchak said. Va'od, d'rafi ha'umdina, mistama rotiye dasa isha reshem geir shal shifra, me'acha she'en adover shekazeh no getzleinu klar. The woman needs to have a certain mindset that she's agreeing to become a shifra. But being that we have no such thing as slavery, this will be so far into her, she can't possibly agree to it because she'll never understand it. She'll think this is a regular geiris. If she really has a mind, I want to become a geiris and not to become a shifcha, the whole thing doesn't work. So I spoke to Rav Shachter about this in our case. Yes. Beyond this?
Right, in terms of her daily life, would there be anything she could do?
Yeah. No. No. No.
Would he be allowed to say she has to do this?
As much as a husband could say it to the wife.
She doesn't have to listen.
Good luck.
So she keeps her status as a non-Jew?
No, she gets the status of a full convert, which will mess over the children.
Right.
Right, correct. Her children are not yet born.
No.
Not case, yet conceived.
The case where that they look into the back that you just started talking about.
Right, so
those
the children
are converted.
Well, whatever. They're not Jewish now.
Right, they're not Jewish.
Right, they again, this whole Mamzer thing does not affect them.
Right.
Right?
Because she's a non-Jew and they're non-Jewish children.
Yeah, that's it. If they want to remain non-Jews, gesundheit. If they want to become Jewish, we can talk.
Okay, but the issue is her. What happens to her?
Right. So she right now is not Jewish, right?
Right.
So if she converts one way or the other, right, she will become Jewish. Either she will get the status of a full Jew or a shifcha kananis, which is a slightly lower.
Right.
It really matters for the next children, right?
For the unborn
so presumably
children.
This couple that you're talking about are people who only have one kid, two kids, and they...
However many
like
they have,
they
she's
would,
still...
Would like to have
she's, right, she is still of childbearing
that,
age.
That part
you can say. Right, she is of childbearing age at this point, and they are probably interested. So that is the point. So I said to Rav Shechter that, you know, what do you mean she won't understand it? So tell it to her slowly. Give her a sheer klali, you know? Sit down to her and explain, right, you know? And start at the very beginning, you know? This is an aleph, this is a beis. Now we're up to mem. Mem is for mamzer. You know? And then, you know, and explain the whole thing to her. Why do we assume that...
That's why.
What?
It's
not crazy, if you understand it, right?
I understand it. I still think it's crazy.
You think God's a woman. I mean, you're telling me.
You think God's a man.
No, I didn't. I just referred him to the masculine because that's what we do. I don't think he's got toes.
Vice versa.
Okay. So in fact, that is a... No toes.
And I know he has fingers. That's about...
Okay. What? Now you're an Egyptian. Ask Blake and Lisa. So... This question has been dealt with other people. Where I give you as well, I give you one more. The Chuvas van Hugges of Sternbuch, who was the chief rabbi of Johannesburg before taking over the Eda Charedis once again. He said, what?
Hugges seems to be a very tell them Ein Echarim Mitzvah? What does that tell us?
That they deal with these questions.
Right.
He's Matir Aguna Salat. I'm not familiar with it. I can't tell you I'm such a bucky in the Sweet Age, but not that I'm aware of. What? Rav Gorin had different Eitzah.
It was a different kind of case, too.
It was a very...
It was a Mamzer case, but...
It was a Holocaust Mamzer case, etc., which we'll do that another week as a different approach, but it's very different than this. So yes, Maisa Shehoya, Kan B'Ish Achas. Another case. Achas Shebalor Ratzel Garsha V'Hocha Liberelim. So this is a case not from the Holocaust. A woman was in Aguna, so she says, what the heck with you? I'm just going to get married without a get. So she went to some liberal. V'Sidru L'Kiddushin Im Odnim Achiv V'Nodlo V'Menu Gimel Banim. And with that, she goes, she gets herself a second husband. She has three kids. There's nothing to talk about in that stuff. And now they're in the Haredi school. Now she got a get. Mazel tov. That doesn't help the kids.
Right.
What are we going to do with these kids now? That's the question. He said, the only option is shifcha. Vabeinu eved v'mishachrim oso. And then you have the kids. Kid Isa so per gibel the kiddushin. V'chein b'shulchan aruch. Aval b'zman alazesh. Refi chokei ha-medinos ein avar shvach tzarech iyan man ha-yaseh. In the time of the Gemara, the time of the Shulchan Aruch, this was all hunky-dory. But nowadays, son of a gun, this Bill of Rights is really going to do us in. Right? Yeah, that puts a whole different spin on it. All of a sudden, we're rooting for the South. Miu nirish ikar kapedus malchus lo lahavir ayom b'shivcha ve'eve kainu kaschachar avadim. He said, but with the government, this isn't what the government calls slavery. He makes the point. The government could care less about this. Whatever the crazy Jews are doing, so let them do it. You want to put up strings all over the place so you can push your carriage on Shabbos? Great, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What? It's the Jews, right? The guy, have a great time. That makes you happy. Go do it, right? Right? You want to go and you want to say, oh, guess what? My wife is my slave. Yeah, good. Yeah, sure. Dream on, buddy. So, that makes you happy. Good, right? Avom kinyan ha'avdus hakavon l'tov shetuch ha'shivach etzchat enimo. But in fact, if this is helping her, right? Now, congratulations. She got $5 and she has this status of a shivcha, and now she has a shidduch. Right? She thinks it's a good deal. The government doesn't care about this. The government would go along with this. Right? Just like the government goes along with the Erev, you know. Right, this is not their problem.
Crazy.
Right? Yeah, you know, good. You give me a dollar and now you own the city every Saturday for the next 100 years. Great, perfect, thank you. But now you'll vote for me, right? Good, mazel tov. So he says, the bottom line is, he says, the argument is tough. He said, Baram, however, Akati, Choshes, Nisha, Ram of the Rice, Mawil. So the problem is, it's been a few centuries since people have been doing this. For some reason, my idea that this isn't really, I'm nervous no one else is doing it. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, at the end of that machokas, no one did it. He said, I don't got the guts to do it. If they're not going to have matter it, I'm not going to be matter it.
Is it possible they're doing it just not advertising it?
I'll tell you the following. So there is, the word on the street is that there has been one done by Rabbi Tendler, and it was approved by Rav Moshe Feinstein. There are rumors that Rav Moshe Feinstein actually wrote up that he thinks it's okay. And I can tell you personally that Rabbi Bleich told me that he's willing, in this case, he's willing to do it. He will sign off on it. He will do it. He will make, in this case of the couple, he will make her a shefcha and be the Messiah of the Kedushin.
Wow.
Right? Because he doesn't buy any of this. He doesn't buy this Din of Malchusa thing. He says the government could care less about this. Even if they could care, he doesn't know that this is any of their business. And therefore, if it worked in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, whatever. What?
You mean later on?
Right. He should live so well and do the shichrus afterwards, be meshacher her. Right? He'll have no problem with the kid's Masada Kedushin. Okay? So unfortunately, from the Holocaust, it was the Minchas Yitzchak who won. What happened to these 10 cases? I don't know. I can't tell you, have any idea what happened to them. But the bottom line of this idea of using this approach to being Matir Mamzerim after the Holocaust, where unfortunately there were more than just these 10 cases, that was not. But Bizman Hazeh, nowadays, at this point, where there are cases that are backing up, including at least one Holocaust case that I'm aware of, there's definitely more of a willingness to go forward with this, even in the white community, even though Rav Soloveitchik was clearly against it. Again, Rav Schechter is still opposed to it. He follows his Rebbe. But there are many other people out there, particularly those people who follow the opinions of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who are open to doing this, and I would not be surprised if this doesn't happen soon.